Well, this is the very last of our series from 1 Corinthians 15, and it's a fantastic finish to a series throughout the chapter. In this, we've been looking at the resurrection and its implications. And finally, our last one this morning, death has been swallowed up in victory. If you remember the Corinthian situation, it's a situation where they are those who think they have it all. They think they're already enjoying all that God has made possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're spiritually full of themselves. They're pretty concerned and content with the material world around them. They're not really keen on anything that looks like sacrificial service. And they simply can't contemplate the idea of a physical resurrection. It goes outside of what culturally is acceptable, what is intellectually acceptable in the culture. And so in the face of the impossible, that is to them, the impossibility of a resurrection, Paul is going to remind them as he closes this chapter of what God has made possible. The Corinthian problem is that it is too big for them and therefore it is impossible. They hold on to their intellectual pride, but by doing that, they lose everything else. They lose forgiveness. They lose any hope of a future beyond the grave. And they lose any notion of Christian service. Unless that's changed, well, there's no future. And that's what we read in verse 50 of our passage, if you've got it in front of you. I declare, says Paul, that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. You just can't go anywhere from the position you are at the moment. And so in the face of the impossible, Paul is going to tell us what God has made possible today. Now, here's the first thing that he tells us. He tells us that there is an instant transformation. Now have a look at what he says. He said, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now Paul is just trying to get across that what the Corinthian thinks is impossible, God can pull off in a moment. That word for in a flash is the Greek word for atom. It's the tiniest sort of thing that Paul can lay his hands on. He says, in that space, God is able to transform everything about you, to make you from a mortal and perishable body into an immortal and imperishable being. It is a great moment. In the twinkling of an eye, you know, just that moment it takes to twinkle an eye. Well, God can change you, says Paul. God can bring about this resurrection body that is so exciting to look forward to. And he speaks also there about at the trumpet, at the last trumpet. Now, he's quoting there from Jesus himself. If you were to have a look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31, you see there that Jesus speaks of what will happen when he returns at the last day, when all of God's angels will at a trumpet blast go to the ends of the earth to bring back all his chosen people. No one will be lost. Everyone who has put their trust in him, who is in Christ, will be given that resurrection body and be part of his new future. Paul says what the Corinthians think is just impossible, God is able to pull off in a moment. He can just click his fingers and it's going to happen. There'll be an instant transformation when Jesus returns. It's great news. God is so much greater than we are. It takes us ages to execute our plans. Now, getting out of lockdown is going to be agonizingly slow. God can pull off the most extraordinary transformation required in a moment. That's what he's like. It's great news, says Paul. Here's the second thing that he says that in the face of the impossible, God can tell us that he can do it. It's this. He can give us, anyway, a fitting result as of a consequence of that transformation. Look what he says in verses 53 to 54. He says this, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. He's talking here about new clothes. He knows that we, as we are now, are unable to be fitted properly for the new and wonderfully spiritual heavens and earth that God is going to bring about when Jesus returns. We're just simply not ready for it. We've spoken about that in previous weeks. And he uses this wonderful image of clothing to give us this understanding of how what we will be given, the new body, will just be perfectly, perfectly appropriate for the new heavens and the new earth, the new future that God has given us. It's a bit like a new strip for a football. I know football stopped at the moment, and you may be glad about that or not, as the case may be. But whenever a team signs a new player, there's a very formal ceremony of handing over a new shirt to the player so that they will be appropriately dressed to play for the new team, given the shirt. It's the same, isn't it? You know, I remember getting my first naval uniform as a junior naval officer. Previous to that, I was sort of young lad, fairly tatty trousers and jacket. And then I had my first uniform and I felt appropriately fitted for the task. You may remember those days when we wore our first school uniform. Just that opportunity to be appropriately fitted for the environment. And it's what Paul is saying here, that God will make sure that the new body we have is utterly appropriate for the new age in which he's going to bring us to dwell with him. We will neither be naked in death or still in the old rags of our previous existence. We will have this wonderful new body that will be utterly fitting for the world to come. What an encouraging and gracious God we have. Wonderful that he can achieve that in a moment. Well, an instant transformation and a fitting result, not just some instant work that is cheap and shoddy, but a fitting, absolutely perfect result from God's handiwork in the new resurrection body that we'll enjoy. But thirdly, wonderfully, the end of death is what God makes possible. Have a look at the verses that come. Verse 54, when all that's been done, when the imperishable has been clothed, the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, that death has been swallowed up in victory. Now, he's quoting again here from the scriptures. It's, in fact, Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. And it speaks of the rich banquet, the joy of the future that God is preparing for his people. But that passage speaks about the shroud that hangs over the people before the banquet is prepared. The shadow of death that needs to be lifted. And what we're hearing here, says Paul, is that as we get given the new resurrection body, which is utterly fitting for the life to come, so we are wonderfully assured that death, which was the end of our old bodies, no longer has any control, any clout in the new future. Death is destroyed. Now, sadly, throughout this whole pandemic, death has appeared, hasn't it, to have its desperately tragic daily victories. But there will, says Paul, be a day when death, where is your victory, is what we'll say, because there will be no count of death's triumphs. Death will no longer have any power over us. And notice he goes on to say here that there's no going back either, no regrouping for death, because the sting of death, sin, has been dealt with. Where, O death, is your victory? Well, you'll have no more of those. And where, O death, is your sting? No chance to regroup and fight another day, because the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. And that, of course, is what Christ has dealt with at the cross. He's dealt with sin. He's paid the penalty for sin in his own body on the cross. It's paid. It's dealt with. It's done with. It is no longer the sting of death. It can no longer have its hold on us. Thanks be to God, says Paul, and indeed, thanks be to God. At the moment, sin just holds on to us, restricts us, changes and shapes us in ways we just don't like. But there'll be a day when death is no more, and the sting of death, sin, has been dealt with, and we are freed from it. And the wonderful triumph that we have is a permanent one, an everlasting triumph. Death will no longer, never show its face again. Thanks be to God, indeed, is what we ought to be saying today. Well, an instant transformation, a fitting result for us for the new heavens and new earth, an end of death, so no going back, no reversals anymore. And finally, a life of purpose. You see, the resurrection changes everything. That's been the title of our series. And wonderfully, we see here at the end of the chapter that Paul also tells us that the resurrection changes everything, not just simply for the future, but wonderfully, the resurrection changes everything for the present too. Look what he says. Therefore, verse 58, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. You see, Paul earlier in the chapter has been talking about the struggles and the sufferings that he's faced for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's reminded the Corinthians that if there is no resurrection, why has he bothered? And now he's turning to them and saying, look, because the resurrection is real, because there'll be a day when you'll be transformed, part of that new heavens and that new earth, that new future that God is bringing about, because there'll be a day when death no longer holds dominion, when death is finished, it means that all you do today, especially those things that will prepare people for that future and give them a part in that future, well, they're not in vain. They're not wasted effort. They're all purposeful because they're all part of God's eternal and grand plan for eternity. You see, we could just eke out the present, but here is a picture in a way of a lighthouse firmly established on a headland in a storm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. A lighthouse resolutely giving light that steers people clear of the danger of judgment and points to the safe haven of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you and I are to be those sorts of lighthouses, not shaken or moved by the storms around us, by all the challenges that a world where death still reigns brings, but rather those who are shining a light that protects people from the dangers of judgment and points them to the safe haven, to the forgiveness and eternal future that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how worthwhile is that? No labour, no matter how tough, is in vain. It may be costly. It may involve struggle, being that light shining in the darkness. But wonderfully for some, it may be the thing that means that they too will be able to say that in an instant, they will know that wonderful transformation that gives them a part in the future where there is no death, where we're thanking God for the victory he's won, and where we look back on a life of purpose and look forward to a wonderful life in eternity with him. This chapter has been an extraordinary chapter that has made us think about the relevance of the resurrection for our present day. It's vitally important if we are to be a people who prepare people for the life that is yet to come. And so I hope you'll join with me in praying now. A, that we are confident that we're part of that future. It may be that you need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your saviour, to put your hand in his, to be in him for the future. It may be that you need to recognise that the resurrection gives you all that you need so that you can labour for him today, no matter what that may cost, no matter how much that may challenge you today. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder of the resurrection. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in it. The fact that if we're in Christ, we too will be given a resurrection body and we will be part of that eternal future. And so we pray that you would assure us that we are in Christ, that we would turn to him if we've never done so. And we pray that you would enable and equip us that we might be those unshaken, standing firm, who proclaim the glory of the gospel, the good news that Jesus can offer a life beyond the grave, a life for eternity with him. Help us in this, we pray, conscious that nothing we do will ever be in vain. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.